Concerning the Bible. And then last week we talked about sin and the difficulties of coming to terms with what sin is, what it's not, and making sure that we have a biblical view of sin. Now today I want us to look at the role of the church and the function of the church. And so the question is, does it matter what I believe about the church? Absolutely it matters. Because if you have a wrong view of what the church is and you misunderstand the function of the church, then we lose the essence of the work of the kingdom of God. And so I think of all of the things that we look at as far as theological issues, certainly there are some that have bigger bearing and impact on our lives as believers than others. But the church is one of those that I think is misunderstood today. There are too many churches that have lost the essence of what a church is, and they are now sort of following along in the line of being just a social gathering or a function to serve their needs rather than the kingdom work. And I think the world looks at the church today in confusion. Because unfortunately, there's not a lot of symmetry between what's happening in the churches around our country and even around our world. And we know this, that the church of the first century is very different from the church of today, at least in the way that it conducts itself. But the function of the church remains the same. And so this morning, as we look in this passage, we're going to sort of go into a discussion that Jesus is having with all of the disciples. And it's in this discussion that he asks the question back in verse 15. And he's asking the question, who do you say that I am? And actually, this precedes verse 15 in this discussion. Then in verse 16, Simon makes the statement. Now, Simon is Peter. And something you need to understand is that Jesus changes his name to Peter, which actually means the rock. Now, as we think about that, look, we see that what's happening is that Peter is saying that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, that's a confession, if you will, a confession of who Jesus is and what he is to us. And then it's in verse 17. Where we pick up with our passage this morning. And here's what Jesus says in response to him. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now think for a moment. If Peter is literally speaking on behalf of the disciples here, and he is seen as the rock in his name, okay? Then what we find is through the confession in verse 16, Jesus is now acknowledging in verse 17 that Peter has come to terms with who he is, that is, who Jesus is based on the Father. So when we begin to think about the church, what we're finding here in these verses is that the church is the believers. It's not a building, it's not brick and mortar, it's not a meeting time, it's not a group that gathers, but the church is the body of believers functioning in such a way that they are working to achieve the kingdom work. Now we'll get to that in a moment, but he goes on in verse 18 and he makes this statement. This is Jesus saying this. I also say to you that you are Peter. And upon this rock, there's the play on the word rock, meaning Peter's name. I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower. Now let's stop there for a moment. And what we find is really at the end of verse 18 is that Jesus is outlining for us who the church is and how it's founded. Now make no mistake, the church, though it's built for the believers to function in a way in accomplishing the kingdom work, it is built on the foundation of Jesus. He is the foundation of the church. Why is that? Because of salvation. We are saved through Jesus, and if the church is the body of believers, then we are gathered as the church because of who Jesus is in our lives. And then he goes on to say that the power or the gates of Hades will not overpower it. Now, this is an important statement because I've heard lots of speculation today that in the current state of affairs in our country, that the church has been canceled, that the work of the church has been stopped, the work of the church has been deleted, in other words. Listen, none of that can be true, because the work of the church is the work of God. And while it can be disrupted and it may be interrupted, it may be stopped for a moment as far as the meeting of people gathered in a church, the work of the church will never end. Why is that? Because it goes beyond just a meeting time. That's why I think in the current situation that we're in, God is speaking loudly right now to our nation and to the church. Because we're in the midst of sort of a paradigm shift. The redefining of what the church is occurring right now for many of us. It's not, as we've said, defined by some of the old sort of criteria anymore. The church goes beyond what we used to see. And now the church, even though it's functioning in an unusual way, is still functioning and delivering the message that God has given us to deliver. And that is that Jesus died for us. And no matter what goes on in the world around us and the difficulties and the sin that's running rampant in our world today, God is still on his throne. And he has a plan for you and he has a plan for me. And the church is the functioning of giving that message, carrying the gospel. And Satan, no matter what he may try, will never be able to overcome that. And then he goes on into verse 19. And this is where it gets kind of interesting. But again, flow with me here on sort of the conversation that's happening. Peter's confessed that Jesus is the Lord. Jesus says that I'm going to build my church on you as the believers. That's what he's saying in verse 18. Then in verse 19, he goes on to say this: I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now let's be careful. We don't get to choose who comes to salvation and who does not as the church or as members of the church. We're the function of carrying the gospel into the world, the function of the church, the carrying of that gospel. And so as we do that, certainly the keys are representative of that gospel and us sharing that gospel to the lost and reminding the believers of what that gospel is and how transformative it is in our lives. And so when we think about what he's saying here is as we share the gospel and as we function as the church and as we achieve things for the kingdom of God, going into places and ministering and doing the work of the kingdom of God, then those things will last and now be bound into heaven. And then if we don't do our function, if we misinterpret the function of the church, if we decide to ignore the real function of the church, then we will not achieve what God wants us to do. Now let me also say this before I go any further. Does God need this church? Does he need the church? Well, that's a hard question to answer, but let me just say it this way. He doesn't have to have the church to do the kingdom work. God could do other ways. He could snap his fingers and things could happen just the way he wants them to do. But he has chosen the body of believers, the church, for the privilege to be the working hand and feet of God, to go into the world and minister and do the functioning, as we're saying, of the church. And so when we think about that, no, he doesn't have to have the church, but he chooses to have the church. And this is where I think sometimes misinterpretation comes, is that many in the church, and maybe churches as a whole, begin to sort of get an arrogant spirit about themselves, as if they are the very definition of God or the definition of the kingdom work of God. Listen, we've got to be careful and protect that. Because even though we're gathered as the church, as we said last week, we still struggle with sin. And so we've got to be careful that we don't have an ego or sort of this higher arrogant attitude when we look at the world around us or those outside of our church or even those outside of our particular church. See, I think there's another thing that's going on in our world today. If you're not a member of my church or the right church or this church, then you're not really worshiping God and you're not doing the function of God. That's terribly wrong when we begin to see that. Because the church is multifaceted. I mean, we only have to look into the New Testament to determine that, that there are many churches functioning in doing the work of the kingdom of God in their communities. And so the church was always designed to have many parts to it. And so we work and function together, not against one another. Now, before we get into this, and we're going to look at really three truths this morning that are extracted from this passage. Now, I want to go on and read verse 20 just to make sure that we kind of have a full understanding. I know that's not one of our verses this morning, but I just want you to understand what Jesus says. And then in verse 20, and you may be reading along with me, it's not going to be in our text on the screen here, but he says this, "Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ." Now, isn't that contradictory? Isn't that go against what the whole passage is saying with what Peter says in verse 16? No, it's not, because it wasn't the time at that moment. But the function of the church now is to tell who Jesus is. And make no mistake about that. As we look at this, that is for the season of that moment, not for today. Now, as we look at this, I want to say this before we get into the three truths. And that is, you can't talk about the church with also not talking about church membership. And let me say this. The church is much more than where you choose to worship on Sunday morning. Or church membership is much more than where you worship on Sunday morning or what you tune into on Sunday morning. Church membership is a commitment. It's a dedication to follow God's call and mission for a particular group or community of believers to go into the world and function in the work of the kingdom of God. And when we come to be members of that church, we both accept the responsibility of that and also the support of that. And God has designed all of us as believers to be a part of a local church. In fact, when you look at the word church, many speculate that this is one of the first times in Scripture that we see that term church used. And it's used a little over 100 times in the New Testament, it seems. But the majority of those times that it's used, it references a local congregation. And so that's why we understand the importance of it, because that's what's talked about much in the New Testament, is the local congregation of the church, which is a gathering of a local group of community believers coming together to carry the gospel into their community. And when you think about Concord Baptist Church, I don't think there's a greater example of that. I mean, here we are in a community now being the beacon, the lighthouse for the Word of God, for the gospel, for this community. And it's one that we cannot waver in. It's one we must stay committed and dedicated to. Now, in this, I want to, as we go back to answer that question, does it matter what I believe? And what do I believe about the church? There are three things, and I've encouraged you each week to take notes. And so I want you to write these three things down this morning, because these are three truths about the church we need to understand. Number one is this, and we see this in what he says in this passage. Number one, you'll see it on the screen, it belongs to God. The church is not mine, it's not yours. It's not the people who started a church. It's not the nation. It's not even the government. The church belongs to God. And the sooner we get the understanding of what that means and the implication of that, then we can make sure that we can guard against being a church that's lost sight of its purpose and its function. If it belongs to God, then God gets to choose what happens in our church. So that means we've got to pray. We've got to spend time seeking Him. We need to have deacons and leaders that are adamant about going before God in prayer before we make decisions and choices. And then the membership trusting that and believing along with their own prayers and repetitions before God that they too are coming to terms with what God is leading our church to do. We should never make decisions without doing that. Why is that? Because it belongs to God. And Jesus tells us, and it's in this verse 18, he says, "I will build," what does he say? "My church." No one else's church. He says, "My church." And so that's a reminder to us that we as a church function on what God wants us to do. We belong to Him. Not only as believers, but the work of our church belongs to Him. And that's where we've got to caution about getting sidetracked and worrying about things that really in the bigger scheme of things do not matter. What we need to be focused on is that sole purpose of what God has given us as a church. And we can look at this in all different ways. But God has given a purpose for every church that is the same. And we've already said it this morning. It is to do the function, the work of carrying the word of God, the gospel, into a world that is in desperate need of hearing that. And that includes our community, but that also includes places like Peru. And it includes other places in Birmingham and other places in our nation. We don't stop carrying that gospel. But it also, listen, means carrying the gospel within the walls of this church and in your homes as members and in the places that you work. And so we as individual members of this church work in that function, and wherever God sends us and takes us and the people that he puts in our path are all part of the work and the function and the purpose and the mission of this church. I mean, we know that the marching orders for the church is given in Matthew chapter 28. When Jesus tells us, go into all of the world, reaching, teaching, and baptizing. And to do that in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is no mistake there in what we should be doing. And so we need to make sure that as members of a community of believers, as a church that functions together in that, that we're being sensitive to that. That we're always looking at who are those lost people that God may be sending us to share that gospel with. But I would say even through things like this, our live stream, and when we do have our normal Sunday morning gatherings in our Sunday school and our youth ministries, and even our Wednesday nights, those are all things that help to carry the gospel into this community. But it also helps us as believers to be equipped and reminded and to be rejuvenated and refueled so that we can go into the world and carry that gospel. And that's why we're having the series that we're having right now. Why does it matter? Does it matter what I believe? And it does, because we're looking at issues that are misunderstood in the world today. And one that we're looking at today, the church, is greatly misunderstood in the world today. I think the lost world has no concept of what the real church is. And unfortunately, they've seen examples and models, perhaps, of churches that aren't functioning in the way that they should. They spend time arguing and being hypocritical and looking down on the world and never getting in agreement with things and doing for the Lord and being together, unified. I mean, there are all kinds of horrible examples that we can look at that are not really what the church is meant to be. And while we can't control those things and change those things, what we can do is decide that we're going to function as the church today. And tomorrow and next week, and so much as we can control in the months to come, in the years to come. And that comes back to being not only a responsible part of the church and supporting the work of the church, but also, listen, being involved in the work of the church and praying for the church, being a member that is connected into the lifeblood of the church. And it not just be a place that we come on Sunday mornings and worship occasionally, but it's a place that we gather with other brothers and sisters with the same passion and heart to carry the gospel into the world around us. And so again, when you look at the church, you also have to understand church membership. Now I want to go on to the second one. So the first truth, as we've said, is the church belongs to God. Number two is this. And we've alluded to this. This is something that we've already kind of started talking about. You'll see it as well on the screen. The second truth is the church serves God. It serves God. Now, we've already mentioned this. We're to be doing the kingdom work, going into the world, carrying the gospel. But we also need to make sure that we're serving God in every decision that we make, in the way that we function internally as a church, the decisions that we make. The budget that we have, the giving that we have, the responsibility of that giving, making sure that we choose leaders and Sunday school leaders and other important parts of our church, doing that in a way that we understand that we are all together serving God. And though we all understand that we have different parts of that, we all together are the body of Christ. Paul is the one that gives us that great example. That we have different, many parts of the same body, but we function as one body. And when a church begins to get out of sync and not functioning as one body in achieving what God has called them to do, then they become dysfunctional. And they're no longer about doing the things that God wants them to do, but they're doing things that maybe one person wants them to do or a group of people want them to do, but not what God wants them to do. And certainly in that, we need to guard that we don't do the things that the world wants us to do and reject what God wants us to do. See, I think if the world had their way, they would want the church to stop carrying the gospel into the community. They would want the church to stop doing things that they see as intolerant and saying that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. They would want that stopped. They want the message of Jesus stifled. And too many churches have decided to bow down to that and no longer function as the true church, but they're trying to be acceptable by their culture. And that becomes dangerous because oftentimes the worldly culture is at diametrical odds with God and what He wants. Now, can we do both? I think sometimes we can, but when it comes down to either deciding to follow what God wants us to do and believe the things that God wants us to believe over what the world wants us to believe and do, we always must, as a church and as individual believers, make sure that we're choosing what God wants us to do. And when we begin to get that out of sync, then we have a church that's not functioning in the way that it should. As we've said, it's a dysfunctional church. It's a church that's lost its way. It's a church that's now decided to try to entertain rather than share the gospel or to be used by God to transform. It's a church that has decided to put their focus on being accepted by the world than being accepted by God. And there are a lot of churches, unfortunately, that struggle with that today. And I think we have to make sure that in everything that we do, no matter what it is, no matter how small, no matter how large, we need to make sure that we're asking the question, how does this serve God? This decision, this choice, this new program, whatever it may be, how does this serve God? How does this help us to achieve greater what God has called us to do as a church? And that is what? To share the gospel, to do the kingdom work of the gospel in the lost world around us. So as we think about this, it definitely, the truths about the church is it belongs to God, it serves God. And then number three, this is one that is unusual because it's probably one that we would have never considered until recent times. But this third truth about the church is this: it is essential in the world. Now be careful here. I've already said that God could function without the church. He does not need us. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me in order to preach God's word. He could do it in other ways or pick other people to do that. He's given us the privilege. You might think of it as the honor to be His tools and instruments, okay? But when we begin to look at the church, maybe not a particular church in mind, but the church, the body of believers across this world, they are essential to the world. Now, I know that right now there's been argument over that, and in certain states, now thankfully in our state, we're not still under that order, but there was the perception that many in the government and other elected officials had decided the church was non-essential. Now, I don't know that any of them really believed that, but listen, even though they might have said, or someone might say, the church is not essential, it still is essential, no matter what people may say or think. Because you think about the work of the church. Not only are we active in carrying the gospel into the world, but we're also, you remember what I said, the kingdom work of God. When there's disasters and needs, the church, God's people, come together to help meet those needs. When there's tragedies in families and homes, many and oftentimes it's churches that will rally around that community and those people and provide assistance and help. And many of the work that our missionaries are doing, even this morning throughout the world, is meeting physical needs in the villages, in the nations, in the communities that they're carrying the gospel to, but at the same time, they're doing the kingdom work. And so if you ask me, is the church essential? Absolutely is it essential. Does it have to meet in a building to be essential? No. It doesn't. It can live stream. It can meet remotely. It can meet virtually. It doesn't even have to have a meeting in order to do the kingdom work. The kingdom work goes on in our hearts and in the lives of those around us. And so don't hear me saying this, that the church is not important. It is important. It is essential. Be clear about that. But it's essential in the work that God has called us to do. Not what you and I may want to do. Not maybe what the world wants us to do, but it's essential in what God has called us to do. And because he has chosen to use the church as the tool and the instrument to carry the gospel into a lost world, then it's essential because of that, because it's the kingdom work of God. And so we are essential workers in that. I don't care what your worldly job is or not, or whether they think it's essential or not. Your work as a believer is essential. And so even when a government comes in and says a church can't function or cannot meet on Sunday mornings, that never stops the work of the church. It continues. How is that? Through the work that you and I do through the church. And in all of these last months, I really believe this. This church has functioned differently, no question about it. And it's functioned in new ways than it ever has before. I mean, the live stream. This is something that prior to the pandemic, we had only really talked about and dreamed about. But because of what happened, we went to live stream pretty quickly. And now here we are being able to do this in a way that now is spreading the message of God into other places and into people's homes who may have never been in our church. From the first week that we shut down, we've averaged almost 200 views. Now, a view is defined as a TV or a screen that's turned on. Many of those are just one people. But others may have four or five gathered around a TV set watching. So we really don't know how many people are being exposed to the work of this church and, more importantly, to the kingdom work of God through live stream. But again, that's just an example of our church functioning in new ways. But yet still, listen, functioning. We're still doing the kingdom work. We're still helping people in our community, though we are not meeting physically. See, you can stop the meeting of a church, but you can't stop the kingdom work of God that he does through the church. And I said, as I said a moment ago, I say it again, we're in a major paradigm shift as a church today, that the old ways of doing church are now being redefined for us. And we have no choice as churches, as communities, to now begin to sort of figure out what new tools do we need in order to be effective in doing the kingdom work in our communities in the months and years and decades to come. And I do believe this, that this pandemic in 2020 will be a definable moment for the church. I really believe it will be a shift for many churches to move from maybe being irrelevant in many of their mechanisms and now choosing to be relevant in reaching people in ways that they've never done it before. And to do that, though, we don't have to be like the world. We need to be like what God has called us to be as a church. So as we look at these things, we understand that the truths about the church help guide our understanding of what the church is, and then we can arrive at a correct theological view of the church. It belongs to God. That's biblical. It serves God. That's the function of the church. That's exactly what we get from this passage, as well as other places in the Bible, like Matthew chapter 28. And then, of course, it is essential to the world. Okay, and it's one, again, that we have to guard against, making sure that we don't get arrogant or have an ego in that. We understand that God has called us by the grace of God, forgiven through what Jesus did on the cross, so that we can be essential parts of the work of God in this world. And so that's why, and we're not going to get into this morning, but that's why we talk about spiritual gifts. And the function that you have in the body and the work of the church, all working together in unison and unity to achieve what God wants us to do. I mean, even though we're in the midst of a pandemic, nothing's changed. We are still responsible for carrying the gospel in the way that God's called us to do that. And each every one of us have a part in that. As a member of this church, as a regular attender in this church, we have a part in that. And in that part, we have a choice of whether or not we're going to be obedient. So now next week, we're going to look at the theological issue of angels, and that then will conclude our four-week mini-series. But you pray for that. Plan on tuning in next week so that you can continue with this idea of does it matter what I believe. Now, I want to pray, but before I do that, let me say this to those who may be watching this who are not part of our church, not part of our church community. And let me say this, we are so happy that you chose to watch this morning. And we would love nothing more than to hear from you maybe this week. For you to reach out to us, you can do that on our Facebook page. You can do that through our website. We have our phone numbers and emails. And so you can reach out to us. We would love to hear from you and how we can pray for you. We know you're out there. We don't know how to pray for you or how we can help you. But once we do come back together meeting, and hopefully that's going to happen very shortly, then we would love for you to come and visit us in person on a Sunday morning at 10:30. And certainly, as we get ready to do that, we'll be announcing details on what that will look like and when that will start. So let me pray, and then I'm going to ask Andrew and them to come back up and lead us in our closing song. Let's do that. Father, thank you this morning for the blessing of your word and for, Father, your presence and the peace that goes beyond all understanding. And God, we are thankful for this church and the function of this church, that we get to be a part of the kingdom work, that we can see that what we do is essential as a body of believers, as a church. Help us never to waver from that, to lose sight of that, to get confused by that, or to be intimidated by that even, or to let others try to tell us or define for us what that is. It is defined by what the Bible teaches us. We're to go into all of the world reaching, teaching, and baptizing. So, Father, first, as believers, we have a responsibility in that. So this morning, I ask all of the believers that are watching this, are you functioning as the church? Are you doing the part that God's called you to be doing in the church that you're a part of? Maybe it's this church or another church. It makes no difference. Are you doing the things, are you being consistent in what God has gifted you to do in that church, whether it be to teach or to serve? Or to do other things, certainly to give, all of those things would be incorporated. So again, we kind of ask the question, well, how are we doing in those things? And then I want to speak to the person who's not a believer. So because of that, they're not part of the church, at least not the body of believers. They could have a membership in a church, but membership doesn't make you saved. So by that, they're not part of the church because they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there are probably some right now that are listening to this that have been struggling with that for some time. And so, Father, we pray for them right now. As we mentioned last week, it's simple. It's so simple that many misunderstand it and miss it. It's just simply acknowledging who Jesus is, that he's the Savior that died on the cross so that we can have our sins forgiven, and then accepting that forgiveness, asking God to forgive us, and then inviting Jesus into our hearts to now be our Savior, our Lord. And then out of that, we now begin to walk as God called us to walk in being saved. And so, Father, we ask for those who may be dealing with that as well to reach out to us or reach out to another believer this week so that we can give them some more assistance on what that means and what that looks like. Father, you guide us this week. You bless us as we continue to do the things that you've called us to do as the church, which includes each and every one of us individually. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.